you're going to be glad you're here today. I know I say it all the time. Read with me. Hallelujah. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions.
Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me.
Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you approve right when you speak and justify when you...
Hallelujah. I've sinned only in front of you, Lord. I was the one that was wrong. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me.
Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost
place. Hallelujah. In the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice.
Hallelujah. This is a continuation of David's prayer. Notice he's asking God for forgiveness. And right in the middle here, he's even telling God, well, it really wasn't my fault. Surely I was sinful at birth. But he understands what he did, and he asked for forgiveness. And did God forgive him? Praise God. Will God forgive you?
Yeah.
So if you don't accept the forgiveness, you don't believe God. Amen? Hallelujah. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful November. We're so glad. The testimony today I want to share with you is, and it was last night, I had this absolutely wonderful talk with somebody I love very much about God and the Bible, and it was so wonderful to just talk. And we don't agree, you know, politically. We've always had our little things, and we enjoy that. And just to talk about God and the Bible and hear somebody say things that are just so real. And the one thing I want to say to you today, and we didn't say it last night, but exactly, and I want you to all be aware of this. And we were singing before about being fearful. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. We're going to talk about that. But let me tell you something that you might not realize. God loves everybody. Got it? He loves everybody. You need to know that before you start whatever you're going to say to somebody. Realize, well, that person, you know what that person did? Say, time out, look in the mirror, what'd you do today? And sin is a funny thing. Some people accept what sin is and what sin, and some people won't accept sin. And you know what you do, the people that don't believe in sin, you just let them be. Amen. What did Jesus say? I didn't come. I came for the lost. I came for those who want it. So I don't want to judge anybody. But so people who don't believe what if there's a sin, what sin is, you don't argue with them because they're not going to listen and they're not going to agree, and you're wasting your time, and then you're going to sound like a fool. Amen. But the one thing we were talking about last night was God loves everybody. Whatever anybody is, God knows. Amen. We know that there's sin, and I know that I have to follow what's in this book. And I know this book is true. Amen. Everything in this book is true. I know He made Adam. He made Eve. Amen. He made animals, male and female. When Noah was on the ark, the animals were male and female. Why? The natural reproductive of the world. Amen. That's the way God intended it to be. But God loves everybody, and we don't know everything, do we? We don't even start to begin to know everything, do we? When we're talking about God and His love, His unfailing love, clear. He looks at people and says, I love. Now, whether they accept Him or not, that's their choice. Amen. You say, well, because God said, how can God send somebody to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. He, if you don't love Him, He will lead you to your hell. He will lead you to the things that destroy your life and lead you forever. And when you pass away and you go down there and you wonder why, I say, well, you never, that's what you wanted. You got your reward. Amen. You got your reward. God didn't send you there. You chose. When anybody that goes to hell, amen? And I always say, I got to believe in this Bible, I always say that you don't go to hell for sinning. Nobody's down there for sinning. They go down there because they didn't believe. Simply that, they didn't believe in the Son. That's the only reason. They chose. They made a choice. Now, you might say sometimes, well, I don't know how much I believe. I want to believe. Larry, I want to really believe in Jesus. I said, well, you've already started. The fact that you want to believe, believe means that you believe. You just want to believe more. Amen? So you take that little seed and you let it grow inside of you. And you talk to God. And you let God show you the beauty. Like I talked about the trees. Sometimes you just want God saying, look at the beauty he made for you. You say, well, then I love that. So I love God. Then you look at the love that's in your heart. When you care about other people, that's compassion. That's God. Amen? So God lives in you. So all these things that you judge and all these things that we see and we think are right or wrong, just understand God knows more than we do. Amen? We have to love one another. That's how we lift each other up. And let God do the healing and the forgiving. Amen? Give Him praise. That's your God and that's our testimony. Right, Greggy?
Yeah.
He loves everybody. Praise the Lord. Jesus, thank you. You know, church, this is the prayer. We did it, and we could do this every week. The prayer is just simply thanking God. That's simple. All the words I can come up with would just be time and time and time of saying. Spending time making you think that I know something that you don't. I'm smarter, I'm not. I love God. I love Jesus with all my heart. He's blessing me. He's always blessed me. Even when I didn't follow Him, He blessed me. Gave me places to go hunting and places to go fishing, places to play my music. He blessed me even when I wasn't calling on Him. But my mother planted the seed when I went to St. Mary's Church. So that seed was growing. My father talked to me about God, talked to me about love and looking at the sky and looking at nature. Learn. That's how you learn. Praise God. So simply saying thank you to God is no little thing. Because you say thank you, you're thanking Him for today. You're thanking Him for the glory of yesterday. You're thanking Him for the beauty, for your children, for whatever it is. And there's so much to be thankful for. So when you start to thank Him, all of a sudden you start worrying about tomorrow. So if you got me this far, Lord, and now I'm calling on you, I'm in a good place. I'm in a better place. I'm not leaning on my own understanding anymore. I'm letting you touch my life. So Lord, simply thank you for today. Because today I have hope in you. That my children will come to know you. That my prosperity will grow because I'm doing for you. All the things, my wisdom, my life, my friends, will be blessed because I'm walking to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's a great prayer. Simply just say, thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Special speaker today, brothers and sisters, and I want you to be really nice to him. I want you to welcome him. I want you to make him feel good because he wanted to come here and talk to you right out of the Bible. So if you'll just be nice to him for 1 minute, I'll go get him.
Get a dress on.
Be nice to me.
get it. Michael, row your boat ashore. I know you're picking on me again. How you doing it today? Hey, buddy, how you doing? Nice to see you. My name is Simon Barjona. I can't do Jewish. The only thing I can do is Italian. My name is Simon Barjona. Simon in Greek means reed. I bend easy. Some of the waves and I get scared. And bar in Greek, the word bar just means son of. So I am Simon, son of Jonah. And I just wanted to come here. Your pastor's a pretty nice guy. Yeah, he's pretty nice. And I was real happy to hear that he's a Yankee fan. Because, you know, I told him, I said, I'm a Yankee fan. I've been a Yankee fan for over 2,000 years. And he said, you might want to know, how can you be a Yankee fan for over 2,000 years?
How can you be a Yankee fan over 2,000 years?
Thank you for asking. You got to remember one thing. Who was I walking with?
Jesus.
Who was I talking to?
Jesus.
He knows a lot of things, you know. He knows it yesterday and he knows it tomorrow. He told me about Yogi Berra and Mickey Mantle, and I became a big Yankee fan. And I know you had Derek Jeter, too. But I wanted to come in here today to talk to you from the Bible. Amen? I want you to come and I want you to hear it from me. I want you to hear it not from your pastor. He's doing a good job teaching you the Word and trying to stay in the Word of God and you know what everything. But I wanted you to hear it from me today so that you can go home and say, I heard it from Peter today. That's my other name. I'm going to get to that in a minute. So you can call me Simon. You can call me Bar. You can call me Peter. But you doesn't have to call me Moses. So whatever you got. I was a fisherman. My brother Andrew and I, we had a nice fishing business, Roger. I'm glad you're here. He's a fisherman like you. We had a good business. You know how I know? Because when Jesus called us to follow him, we left our father. And Jesus would never have asked me to leave my father alone and lose the business. And we had a couple of friends with us. They were the business right there too. John and James. You know those are two guys? John and James are brothers. Oh my God, let me tell you about Johnny. He's a crazy guy. You don't know. He's got a temper so bad, George, just a guy, John. One day, we was walking with Jesus, and we're all walking, and we wanted to go to this town, and the people didn't want us. They didn't want to hear Jesus. They didn't want to talk to Jesus. They didn't like Jesus. And I was watching John and James. They got so mad. You know what they said? They want to go down there and break the whole town up and get everybody and smash all. And Jesus said to them, you sons of a thunder, he called them. They was laughing at it. But then I started to think. They had a bad temper like that, but it wasn't mad like a bad temper. They loved Jesus. Amen? They loved him with a dedication. That temper, Jesus said, I can use that temper because they're devoted. They're dedicated, see? And I'm going to use them for me. I'm going to take that and mold them and their determination and that love and how they adore me, and I'm going to mold them into great people, see? So he used, somebody say, well, you got a real bad temper, but if you focus it, see, sometimes it's because you're so bent on getting it right. You want it to be right. You want it to be good, and you get all excited. See, sometimes it's not a bad thing, eh? Well, he's a fisherman, and we go, and so many nice things that happen. I want you to know something today. I ask you, anybody here see George Washington ever? Anybody? Nobody? How about Abraham Lincoln? Anybody here see? Nobody? Let me tell you something. I walked with Jesus. I talked with Jesus. There's no doubt. Nobody doubts. Some people doubt the Bible and they doubt a lot of things in the Bible, but nobody ever says Paul and Peter and John and Luke never existed. I walked with Jesus. I talked to Jesus. He taught me. He led me. I listened to him. I saw the miracles. I saw what he did. I saw how he touched and healed people. And then I wrote about it. And we're going to get to. Sometimes people say, oh, the Bible is a hard book to read. I say, no, it's not. It's letters together. Little letter. I wrote two letters in the Bible. Two really nice little letters to you people. I wrote it from my heart, and it's a nice, like a letter, like you write to your friend. I know nobody writes letters anymore. And that guy, John, oh my God, he's a writer. He write a gospel, he write three letters, he write the Revelation. He's a writing everywhere. But I wrote that so that you can read it from somebody who walked with Jesus. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Let me tell you something you might not know about me, because nobody seems to talk about it. I was a married man. People say, well, you can't get married and follow God. I said, no, I was a married man. I had a wife. You know, Paul had a wife too. And James, Jesus' brother, not the James of John's brother, James of Jesus' brother, he had a wife too. Imagine that. Nobody tell you that. And you say, well, that's not true. And I say, yeah, let me tell you. When Jesus came, you know what he did the first thing he come? He came into my house. You know what he did? Guys, don't get mad. You know what he did in my house? He healed my mother-in-law. She had a fever. She was really sick. And the Bible said, right back. Oh, there goes that water, that river again. He came to my house. He healed my mother-in-law. And it's right there in Matthew. Oh, you know Matthew? Levi. We call him Levi. He's a crazy guy. He was a tax collector. He was a bad guy that God made good. But what he made a record. So he wrote everything that went down. Do you read a Matthew? He wrote everything. So he wrote about the time that Jesus came to my house. And he healed my mother-in-law. And then she made everybody a nice meal. Everybody ate. We stayed there. We prayed for people. People came to our house and Jesus talked to them and healed them with his words and his touch and his kindness and his peace. And they left there feeling like there was a hope. We saw that. We saw that many times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's nice. He said you'd do that too. Then one day he said to me, we was out in the boat, see, and the waves were really just blowing. We was out in the boat. You ever been on the boat, Roger, on the boat, the waves are going like, and everybody in the boat is, you know, is scared, and Jesus is sleeping. And we was all scared. We wake up with Jesus, and he come over, and he said, Lord, Jesus, help us, the waves are blowing. And he stands up, and he made it the waves to stop. And then he looked at me and he said, you of little faith. Oh, and I didn't like that at all. He said, I love the guy. And he said, oh, you a little faith. And then another time, you might have read in the book, when there's a lady. Now, we'd been out all night and we were on the boat going across. And all of a sudden, I look up behind me and there's somebody walking on the water. I said, what is that? Who is it at? And I said, oh, no, Jesus, is that you? And I got to be the smart guy. You know, they said I was the leader of the apostles. I don't know why they said I wasn't the leader. Maybe because I was a crazy enough guy. Like I said, Simon, I'm a reed, see? And I said, Jesus, is that you? And he said, yeah, that's me, Simon. And he said, you walking on the water? He said, yeah. I said, can I walk on the water? Roger, don't try this, please. He said, can I walk on the water? And Jesus said, come. So like a crazy guy, John didn't do it, Andrew didn't do it, Bartholomew, no, me, climb over and I started walking down the walk. Like it says right there. All of a sudden I get out on the water and the wind starts to hit me and the waves and the water hit my face. And don't you know the next thing I do, I start to sink. And right away I say something with, Jesus has saved me. And he reached his hand up and he lifted me up. And again he said to me, ye of little faith. I don't like that. But he said it to me. Praise God. Ye of little faith. Thank you, Lord. I saw and heard many wonderful things. I saw things that were so beautiful, so amazing. And I ask you something. I ask you, if you saw something so beautiful, you witnessed something so beautiful, wouldn't you want to write it down and tell your friends? Young Cassie, you're going to go on a trip. You're going to see so many beautiful things and something that you just can't stop looking at. You're going to write it down. You're going to take the phone and take pictures and send it because you want to share it with everybody, right? We all do that. How many got pictures of their grandkids on their phone and they were sharing it with everybody? Huh? Why? Why you do that? Because it's a new love and you want to share the love. Amen? I wrote two books. I wrote two books for you because I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He loved me. He take care of me. I failed him so many times. One time he said, you're going to deny me. He said, no, I will. I said to Jesus, I will die. I will die before I deny you. A couple hours later, I denied him three times. And That was a bad time for me. That was a sad time for me. But you see, I was still Simon. Amen? I was still Simon. And one day he said to me, "Who do you say I am, Simon?" And I said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said to me, "Blessed are you, for my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." Oh. And then he said, "You are now Peter." And let me tell you what the word about Peter. In Greek, the word is Petros, P-E-T-R-O-S, Petros. It means a stone, a small pebble, a stone. He said, you're Peter. And on this rock, he said, I will build my church. The rock of faith. People think, and I'm going to tell you this, I got to tell you, some of the people have a tradition, some people think, and it ain't in here. It ain't in here. It's not here. They think I was a special. They think that I was the rock that the church is built on. Amen? But I'm going to read to you now my words to you, not my idea to you, not your pastor. He's a great guy, by the way. You should like him. You should really enjoy him. Take him out to dinner once in a while. He can eat pretty good. I'm going to write to you. I'm going to tell you in my letter that we're all stones. And I want to show you that I wasn't special, except that I loved him and he loved me. And where many are called but few are chosen, I would tell you to look around right now and know that you're all called. Amen? And I want to share this with you because I just want you to know the importance of the simplicity of the Bible and how beautiful it is. And I'm going to read some more to you. And I want you to listen and participate with me.
Come on.
Brothers and sisters, this is not your pastor's word. This is not your church's word. This is not somebody else's church's word. Amen? This is not a ministry's word. This is the word of God. This is the Bible I'm going to read to you. And you share with me and stay with me. Hallelujah. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Who's got the hope? Who's got the hope? We got the hope. To an inheritance, listen, incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Where is it reserved? For who? Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. How is it revealed?
Faith.
Hallelujah. Through your faith. Not through works, amen? Not through deeds. Not through anything, but through what?
Faith.
Who told you that? I told you that. Right here in Peter. I'll read some more. In this, listen, this is so important to you. Listen to this. Because I know, I walked, I seen it, I felt it. I want you to listen. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Has anybody here ever been grieved by various trials? Have you? Notice the word that I use, grieved. I'm not talking about a hangnail. I'm not talking about a sore back or a sore knee. I'm talking about grieved. You're Mr. Dale, right? He was telling me about you. You got a lot of faith in that Larry guy next to you. That's nice. Good to see you, isn't it? Grieved. How many here have ever been grieved by various trials? I was grieved. The day I denied him three times was a pain in my heart I can't explain to you. And the only thing that made it better, the only thing, was Jesus. His love for me healed my heart. I was so grieved. Hallelujah. And I'll read again, in this greatly you rejoice, for now a little while, if you need, you have been grieved by various trials. That, listen, the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom have having you not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, it's your faith that's worth more than gold, because someday you're going to be gone, the gold will be here. Everything dies except your faith. Your faith grows into God. You understand? What grows in God? Your faith. What makes you stronger? Faith. What is faith? Just believing that God can and He will. Say that with me. He can and He will. I'm telling you now, not to your pastor, I'm telling you. Though you're tested by fire, means though you might be on your knees, it might be you're at the end of your strength. You may be found, you praising God, and you're glorying in God, and you've got hope, and you're talking to people, and they don't know how you're doing it, how you're carrying on, but you know that it's God inside of you. That faith is being molded and grown, amen? So that you become soldiers, and you become strength, your confidence in God. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, you know that's not my words, because your pastor would never say those words. I never heard that. But I'm Peter now. Listen what he... Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace. And what is grace? Unmerited favor from who? It's given freely, is it not? You can't buy it. You can't earn it. Gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy. George Mako, you also be holy, because Mr. Pastor told me about you too. You're a great man, a good man, a God-fearing man, and He wants you to shine. Be holy, He said, for I am holy. That means you got to stand out and let people see the real you, because let me tell you, everybody knows the real you, and I've been to find it out. I know, I talk. Everybody loves you when they know the real you, my brother. Hallelujah. And listen now. I want you to listen to this. And if you call on the Father, call on who?
Father.
Who, without partiality, judges according to each one's work. He doesn't care who you are. You understand? God does not care the title that a man gave to you. Whatever title you think you have, God is not impressed with that title. Nor does He see it in partiality. Nor does He say, oh, I like you better than... He doesn't do that. And I'm telling you right here, it says it right here. If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. He's saying don't follow the traditions. Don't, whatever the traditions gave you, they're not worth anything. Amen? He's saying don't follow those. He's saying but follow God. But with the precious blood of Jesus as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundations of the world. He was manifested in these last times for you. For who? For who? For you, who through Him, who? Believe in Jesus, believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Who are they in?
God.
Hallelujah. And let me skip and I just go right here. And this is the important part. I want you to listen to what Peter said, not to what man says. Amen? I want you to listen to what the Bible says. It's a very simple. Coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it also contains in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes in him will by no means be put to shame. He's saying you have a new hope, a royal priesthood. That's you. You ever thought of yourself as a priest? You ever thought of yourself as royal? Peter is telling you, I'm telling you that you're special. Don't you do it. coming to him as a living stone, rejected by man. How many times have you tried to talk to somebody about God and they don't want to hear it? You've been rejected by man, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. That means your spiritual house is your praise through faith, leading others. That's how you do it. Hallelujah. But you are a chosen generation. Peter wrote this. Peter wrote it to you. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. In the Old Testament, when they wanted to give sacrifice, the only person that could go in was the high priest. And they burnt offerings and they sacrificed. That's how they got, that's how your sins were forgiven, that's how you did it. In the New Testament, in the New Promise, you are the holy priesthood. You are the royal priesthood. You now have access to the room that you were told once you didn't have access to. Amen? It says so right here. You are a chosen generation. Who is?
We are.
A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said that I am Peter, I am a stone, and upon this rock I will build my church. I am one stone. Can you build a church on one stone? No. How many stones do you need? Many. Peter is saying, you are a living stone. You, David, are a rock building this church. Walter, you are a living stone. You are a rock. Your faith is the rock. Amen? Not people. People fall short, but your faith, Fred, is a rock in this church. Amen? This living church is you, the living stones, building this church. One stone is not enough, but stone upon stone build a church. My faith was the stone. Your faith adds Jesus as the chief cornerstone. You are the calling. You are the holy priesthood. I didn't tell you that. The church didn't tell you that. Peter told you that. Amen? Peter in the Bible told you that. You believe what the Bible tells you. You don't believe what man tells you. There should never be, no one can or should even add one new requirement to what's in this book. Amen? Nobody should add one thing. God is for you. Say that with me. God is for you. God is looking at you. He loves you. He wants you. He's got something for you. You are worthy. Say that with me. You are worthy to feel that love every day. You are worthy to change your life because it changes your life. As you walk with him, you change. And as you change, people around you have to change with you. And you stand on the word of God. You don't stand on tradition. Peter told you that. Your traditions will serve you nothing. When you're gone, the tradition stays behind you. But your faith serves you like gold, and it gets stronger, and you get stronger, and give him praise in the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, I hope you like me coming today to your church. Next week, I want to tell you, because I want you all to come back, my friend John is coming next week. But you just got to know something. He's like a loving to Jesus, and he's going to talk to you about the things. And I want you to be here because he's got something so special for your heart. That after you read what John said, not what the church says, but you take what John says in the Bible, you will not leave this place the same. So I'm going to pray you come and see John next week. Thank you. God bless you. I want you to understand that there's folks who won't accept the fact that Peter was married for their own personal following. But it's in the scriptures over and over again, very simply put, Jesus saved his his mother-in-law. His wife traveled with him on missions. Paul speaks about his wife, speaks about James, the brother of John's wife, the brother of Jesus' wife, talks about Peter's wife. The only reason that they say he wasn't married fits what they want him to be, but he never said he was. You notice as you read the Bible, there's never a mention of religion, a man-made religion. It's simply about who? Christ, your Savior, and you. And Peter tells you that. You are now able to go where men could not go in the Old Testament because of this. Because of what Jesus did, made you eligible to walk through the door to the prayer room to him, asking for forgiveness as David did in that psalm. Asking for miracles in your life, asking for healings in your life, asking for healings for your family, asking for a job, asking to catch a fish. It all comes back to him. David, I got to tell you, I have to tell you because it just so, Thursday we performed in Milford and it rained and there's no cover and the place, the parking is terrible. David, we were 4 steps from the doorway where we, when I pulled in, the parking lot was full except one spot by the door. I know we always joke about that, but he's always answering prayers like that. The more you see the little things, the more little joys that you get, and the more you start to see it, it's like, it's amazing. The other day I found out in my car, we had bad tires. I looked at the tires, there's metal showing through, the steel belts coming. I'm both my front, and we were in Shelton, and I just like, oh Lord, get me home. And I can't tell you how many times I talked to him, and when I pulled into the driveway in Southbury, how thankful I was. You know, and I can say, well, nothing happened, so I guess I didn't need God. That would be crazy to say that. God got me home. We got the car to the gas station, and he put new tires on me the next day. But see, the first thing I did when I saw that is, I got to pray. I got to ask God to help me home. Amen? And God blesses you so many ways. And as you walk with God, don't forget one thing. You represent him. George, I got to tell you, I have bragged about you for 2 years. I've told people, I said, George hasn't missed a Sunday, except when Miss Pat was sick. He comes to church every Sunday to hear the Word of God. Amen? That's a man who wants more. I mean, that's a man who enjoys the fellowship and knows that there's something with God now more than he had for those 60 years he didn't go to church. And you weren't a bad person for not going to church. You don't go to hell for not going to church on a Sunday, brothers and sisters. Jesus said, and God said, and the Bible says, do not forgo fellowship. You see the joy you had today, and when you see each other, and you leave here with more of God and your faith, see, that's why you come to church. You come to church to get fed, just like you do when you go to the restaurant later. You come one day a week, God asks you to come for an hour, hour and a half, whatever it is, come one, but you need to get fed. If you go to a church, or you go somewhere, and you don't hear the Word of God, or they change the Word of God, or they make you feel afraid, or they put you in bondage, or they tell you you need to do this, this, and this, you need to go find a place where God says, here I am. Come home to Jesus. That's why we put that on that banner. Just simply, come home to Jesus. Amen? Jesus is the light. He's the truth and the way. And it all started right here. Right here. We do the Lord's Supper. Praise God. Peter didn't know what he was talking about when he did this. You know. Blessed the bread and broke it and said, this is my body being torn for you. They looked at each other saying, what's he talking about? What does he mean, his body being torn for me? But you know. You could be a Yankee fan, you don't know Peter. Walked in here now and saw me, for you, they think you folks are crazy.
Oh, yeah.
God as the leader of the apostles, of the disciples. He never claimed a title. Amen? He never claimed that he was anything except a servant of the Lord. But they made him the head because he took the step to do it. On the day of Pentecost, in the upper room, and the word Pentecost simply means 50. Miss Karen, it simply means 50. It sounds like a word that has a lot of meaning, but it's simply number 50. 50 days after Jesus, they all met in the upper room. All the apostles were in one accord. No, they weren't in a Dodge. They were in one accord. They were all together. Chuck, Roger, in one mind. Art, Roger, together. They were agreeing together, and God came. And then Peter went out and spoke to the people. Peter was the one that spoke to the people, that told the people about the Holy Spirit and about Jesus Christ. And they stayed there for days, baptizing people in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But he never claimed to be anything except a servant to Jesus Christ. Blessed the bread and broke it, said, "This is my body being torn for you. I'm doing it for you." And he simply asked that we do this in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. This is what you need to accept in your heart. As he took the wine and poured it into a glass, into a cup, he blessed the wine and said, "This is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins." You need to accept that. That's your gift from God. You didn't do anything to earn it. He gave it to you. John's coming here next week. And he's going to tell you things that you need to believe because it's from a God. I wish I could do Jewish. I can't do that. The book is easy to read when you go one book at a time. I know Bernie knows that because he knows the Word of God. But you got to let that book fill you up, Bernie. You got to let it come out. You got it in your head. You got to be able to whoever you're dealing, just express it, because you have the Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit is so alive in you that since the first day we saw that, you know the Word. You just got to, you're a representative. You're a soldier for the Lord. You got to be always good for Him. You got to talk to people good. You got to treat people with kindness and love. That's what brings people to you. That's what brings people to God. And remember, God loves everybody. Sorry. I told Greg last night, as somebody told me a long time ago, a pastor told me, "You'll be surprised who's in heaven and who's not when you get there." And I say, when you get there, because you love Jesus, amen? You took him into your heart, amen? You took him into your life. He didn't ask you how much you had to love him. He did it for you freely, but you believe him. You want more of him. If you want more of him, then you have him in your heart. And if you have him in your heart, you are an inheritance. You have an heir to the kingdom, to the throne. Amen? Yes. An inheritance. When you give, it is given back. We don't talk about the offering in a way that make you feel like you have to give. We want you to give to God. Whatever you ever give into that offering from this day on, I want you to give it to God. I want you to take it, whatever it is. It's $5, $2, whatever. But I want you to notice that week. I want you to notice that week something happening in your finances, something different happening, a blessing that you receive, and then you say, it came from that. If you never do that, you'll never receive, and that's okay too. But if you start to do that, if you start to give, God will bless you back. Can I get an amen on that? You give love to somebody, you give a smile to somebody, George Minko. You give a smile to somebody, you're going to get a smile back. See, that's God right here. He said to do this in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name.